Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Chips Goggins is here, but Susie Jones just brought me a Pepsi in a can. Oh, thank you, Susie. Oh, I have a kiss, too. Oh, Chip, what are you bringing me? I just got a Pepsi and a can, a kiss. What? That's how we should all base our friendships. Hey, how are you doing, Chip? What do you provide me with?
How can you help me?
Yeah.
That was nice of her.
That was very, very nice. I kid her about that all the time. When is your column about the Wolves' brilliant strategy of playing rope-a-dope during the regular season? Playing the Suns, getting your butt kicked, and then all of a sudden, the reversal. I compared it to Rocky in Rocky II, when for 11 rounds, he's right in. Because we were here a couple Mondays ago saying, as great as Wolves are defensively, what does Phoenix have them doing? They have them running. They have them chasing. They're not in a string. Ant only had 14 points. There were legitimate reasons. Now, if you thought they shouldn't show up, if you thought they're going to get swept, that was utter nonsense. But to say, hey, this is an issue. I had no problem saying after Phoenix just whipped him that I thought the Suns should have been slight favorites. I never picked. I thought about picking. I think at the end I would have leaned maybe Wolves in six, even though I had no problem saying the Suns are the favorites, just how they crushed him. But I Alan Horton had a great, because he does such a good job, he had a tweet today that the 2015 Wizards, the last team to get swept by a team, and then to sweep them, the Wizards did it over Toronto. But that's a remarkable turnaround.
Yeah, it's amazing because it's not like you could dismiss those three games in a regular season, go into this series and say, don't worry about it. I know they got killed three times, but they, you know, don't worry, they're going to figure it out in the playoffs. No, I mean, you looked at it and you had legitimate concerns about how they were going to handle their shooters and what was going on with Ant. But, you know, I guess it's just a classic case that don't read too much into any individual performance, even though there were three of them, because the Wolves totally outclassed them. I mean, in every way, shape, and form.
Without a doubt.
How would you like to be a Phoenix fan or a Phoenix Suns employee looking at what they did in that series? I would say particularly Bradley Beal, who I thought was awful. And the money that they've committed to those three players, that's a problem.
Yeah, this was their year.
They got a major problem.
Yeah, this was their year to win, right? They gave up four number ones for Kevin Durant and two very good players. They gave up a ton for Bradley Beal, who I've always thought was overrated, including the fact he gets hurt so much. And Ant destroyed him, ripped his soul out, really, all three of them. Booker, was Booker at times last night acting like a punk? Yes, he was. Yes, he was. Was there still way too much Wolves Twitter on officials' calls? Yes, there was. You know, now Scott Foster earned some of that, but and I don't want to turn this into Suns fan line, but they have a number one this year. They got another in like 28. They're giving up their picks. They got no flexibility. Shams had a story out like 2 seconds after the game ended where Vogel's basically going to be fired. Whereas I thought about where we should start because I talked to a bunch of Wolves to start. Let's just start with Finch. Okay, let's start with Finch.
Yeah.
And, you know, Pete and I have talked about this for a while. You know, not only was Flip, you know, a very good coach, but somebody very close to me. The biggest – oh, did you grab that audio, Dave? Do you have the Finch audio? In fact, let's just play this soundbite because I think this is a great soundbite from Chris Finch. This is after Game 3.
You know, honestly, I couldn't tell you because I wasn't here for those first 26 years, and I don't care what happened beforehand. The reality is, like, we got a bunch of guys who love playing together. They play hard. They play the right way. They're young. They let me coach them hard, and it's been fun. You know, and that's been the foundation of being able to grow this little by little. Long way to go for us. But, yeah, we don't really care what happened before because that doesn't relate to any of us.
It's a great answer. You know, it's such good. And I was so lucky that Flip gave me the latitude he gave me. We had a mic in the huddle where we could listen off air, Chip, and could use it. And Flip trusted me on what I could use.
Yeah.
I cannot tell you how tense they were. Game 5 against the Denver Nuggets when they're in close that series because they all had heard so much about you can't get out of the first round, you can't get the first round. Ant, Cat, and Finch didn't give a bleep. Didn't care about it. And again, I think Flip is a great coach, and I wish my friend was still here. But that's one thing about Finch that's different from Flip. Here's another thing. Flip walked on eggshells around KG. And I'm not a practicer now, but I know people who are. Will trust me on background, and they say the two toughest guys that Finch coaches the hardest, and it's not even close, Anthony Edwards, one, and Karl Towns, two.
Yeah.
And that is a great trait, and that Finch has does that and that those guys allow him to do it. As silly as that might sound, that is a big thing in this league.
Oh, 100%. And that's what I was going to say, that the most impressive thing, and it's true, about that quote that he had there is that they allow me to coach him hard.
Yep.
And he does.
Oh, yeah.
And you hear it all the time from guys that he holds them accountable. He's demanding. He gets after them. But he's managed to walk that line to where he can coach them hard and expect accountability. But they love him. Like, look at the way that Ant talks about him and Carl talks about him after games and, you know, going down the line, all the players. And they're calling him Finchy and, you know, and kind of almost – having fun with the fact that he keeps him in line.
Yeah.
And then you saw the genuine concern last night when he collided and he was hurt. The guys huddled around him. They genuinely love playing for him. And you're right. It is not something that every coach can pull off because we see
it.
A lot of times when you lose your stars, you're done. That's it. Because guess what? The team is going to decide with the stars over the coach. And so he has built a – you know, we use the word culture a lot, but there's a spirit and a camaraderie within this team and this coaching staff from players to coaching staff that, you know, we're around a lot of teams. This is a good one.
Yep,
you know, this
is
unique.
You don't
get this all the time. And I think that's, sure, talent and schemes and all those things are the most important thing. But I think the way you feel about each other and trust each other and you know, I want to go back, Chad, I tweeted out, and I know everybody has seen it. That defensive possession,
yes,
late in the game, where there's eight passes, and guy, when we talk about a defense that's
on a
connected
string.
On a string,
yep,
that is a textbook definition of what it looks like.
That's it, and let's not forget what happens next because ball gets moved around, and even Cat, not once but twice, is really good on that possession, including not like he normally does, standing outside the lane when Beal scores. He goes out there in a defensive position. Jaden gets a steal, and then Anthony Edwards just dunks all over Kevin Durant. I want to stay with Finch here a little bit.
Sure.
We're going to talk Wolves both segments. I think it's worth it. It's horrible what happened. I mean, just the timing. It's terrible. I assume he gets surgery quickly. I don't see how he can even be in a scooter or whatever in front of the bench. I just don't, because I don't think with that knee type of injury, you can bend the knee. I mean, yeah. This is me today playing doctor from talking to a couple people.
Sure.
I just think, if anything, he's behind the bench just for his safety.
Yeah, you know? They haven't announced it, but that's my guess, because, one, the safety thing, right? He's not going to be able to – he's not going to be mobile. He can't – if guys come crashing into the bench, which we see it happen all the time. It's not like he can stand up and move. He can't dodge him. And so, obviously, he's not going to be up there walking on crutches or whatever. So my hunch is, and we'll find out more from the team in the next day or so when they reconvene up here, is I'm guessing, just a guess, that he'll be on the behind the bench, in that row right behind the bench where the assistant sits. So he can –
that's my guess.
You know, still do coaching with Mike Inouye and you know, share his input. And here's the other thing, Chad. This is a great coaching staff, from assistants and the
there's 400 of them, so I hope it's good.
That's it. You should, yeah. but I think they're all on the same page. I know they are all. And so, and he's going to be there. It just won't be, you know, right on the, you know, where he normally stands or sits, I wouldn't think. So it's going to be awkward, but I don't think it's going to be a detriment.
I think they can figure it out. I think what they probably would have to do is, for timeouts, almost all of college, have the players' chairs be brought out to the court a little bit so the coaches can gather on Finch and do that. I mean, something, some way. So in one of my hoop threads, this has kind of been the running debate all season long. Who deserves more credit? Gerson Rosas or Tim Connelly? And this is not a shot in any way at Tim Connelly. The Wolves have a great general manager. And I gave my opinion on the Gobert trade. I'm not changing on it, but he's been phenomenal this year. Let's be clear about that.
Yeah.
You know, let's not forget how Gerson left. I remember it was arrogant. It was foolish. But this is – and this has come up on the show periodically this year too. But Gerson – it wasn't an automatic to draft Anthony Edwards. There were plenty of people thought James Wiseman should be the pick. There were plenty of people thought LaMelo was the pick. His timing of how he fired Ryan was gross. But the guy he hired is a fantastic coach. He's a fantastic coach. He moved down and drafted Jaden McDaniels. He signed Naz Reid. This team is lucky to have Tim Connelly. If all the GMs were thrown out and there was a draft order, Tim Connelly would go in the top five. I really think he's that highly regarded. I just don't think we can forget some of the key moves Gerson made, even though he left here with in an ignominious fashion.
Yeah, can we say 50-50? Can we call it 50-50? Because, you know, I was thinking about this morning. Think about how silly that pre-draft narrative was, that Anthony, they weren't sure if Anthony Edwards loved basketball.
Yeah, I think he does.
Are you
just
kidding
a hunch?
Me?
Yeah.
Are you kidding me? Like, that was a storyline. But no, I mean, yeah, you can't dismiss it. He drafted both him and Jay McDaniels. But you look at what Tim Connelly and the Gobert trade, unloading D'Lo and bringing in, which might be, they should build a statue for bringing in Mike Conley and Nah. And unload D'Lo. So
one of the five Wolves players I most hated watching in the entirety of the existence, D'Lo, and to get two quality humans who play the way Conley and Walker do, it's an absolute steal. Absolute.
But both men deserve credit for the construction of it. We personal stuff with Gerson, we'll leave that alone. But in terms of the basketball strategy and what he did, for sure.
I just think you know, we've talked before, I've heard Dan talk about it before, but it doesn't come up a lot, you know. And again, he screwed it up himself, and then A-Rod and Lori deserve the credit for pursuing Tim Connelly. And again, I have immense respect. I don't have to agree with everything. And by the way, the Gobert trade this year is a home run, right? It's not all the way done, but it is everything you would want this year. All right, let's stay with the Wolves, and let's talk about number five. And how fantastic he was in this series, and where he potentially could go. We'll also get to Towns and other parts, and with Denver looming.
Yeah.
And we'll get to a little bit of Vikings before we're done. Chip is here. He's the best. At Chip Scoggins on the Twitter machine and in the Star Tribune.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right. Yes, Dave Harrigan today, Chip Scoggins. Sun music going down. All right, let's talk about number five here. His intelligence, his basketball savvy, and making the right decisions has improved every year, but in particular in this series. Let's not forget Memphis, he was really good in that series. Denver, he was really good. But even the first half last night, when he wasn't making shots, and I think he got burned in the back door. I think he and Towns both got burned in the KD back door, like back-to-back possessions. You're like, what are you doing, right? I mean, I get it.
It happens.
He is making smart decisions.
Yeah.
I mean, 80, 90% of the time, whether it's just move the ball. He's learned, too, that you move the ball and everybody else moves, and you might get the ball back. And he does. But then when he needs to step up, I thought he was brilliant in the second half. I mean, just brilliant to the point where I had this debate at the start saying, there's one guy right now who's by far ahead of the league, and it's who they're going to see in the next round because Denver's winning tonight. It would not shock me by at some point next year when objective people are going to say, Anthony Edwards is the second best player in the game. I didn't know if he would ever really – would he just be a superstar? Could he be like Jason Tatum? Jason Tatum's never going to be the best player in the game, but he's going to be like your seventh, eighth. I'm all in now. I am smitten. I am spooning. Yeah. I'm buying in. How about his block? How about bringing the team together? I really think I would not be shocked if we're having a debate in a couple of years on Ant and Jokic. And I'm saying right now, it's Jokic, and there is a huge gap between the rest of the league. But this guy on the outside, he's coming. As Kevin Garnett once said to me in a soundbite that's played a lot, we're coming, we're coming. Anthony Edwards to the NBA, we're coming.
Yeah, and that gap is shrinking by the game, it seems like.
Yes.
And The thing that really stood out is, and the point I was going to make is what you brought up first, because we've seen when Ant goes off scoring, right?
Yep.
20 points in a quarter, we've seen that a lot. I don't think we've seen the decision-making and the playmaking to the level that we did it throughout this entire series, because watch the way Phoenix guarded him. Yes. Yeah, the guy guarded him, and everybody else was in the gaps. So if he drove,
yep,
he was going to be driving into traffic. And the thing we love about him is his confidence, and he's fearless. And I think at times early in his career, that might have led towards some hero ball. Right?
Absolutely.
He
no doubt.
He wanted to do it one on four. And, you know, and sometimes it worked, and sometimes it looked out of control. But it really, the light for me, and I'm sure he's been doing this, it's been a kind of a gradual thing, not just a series, but the light really turned on for me is particularly in game three, where he's driving, their whole defense sucks in, and he makes a cross-court pass to the corner.
Yes.
I mean, it's the right play.
Yes.
And it just seems like he made the right play all the time. And the turnovers cut down. I just felt like he had complete control of that game, and it didn't just have to be a scoring. Now, as we've seen, he's a finisher. He's a closer. When it's time to win, he goes wins. And
yes.
he takes it to another level. But the thing that I think that is making him a superstar now is he's elevating everyone around him with his playmaking
and getting
everyone else involved.
That's a great point. That is a great point. And with him making the right decisions, it's like so many things. It's patience. It's sometimes it's patience. Sometimes it's reading where they're coming from and watching film. And you know he must have watched it to understand. Other times it's getting rid of the ball right away. I think another great thing is he goes out of his way to tout his teammates. He's always there with them. Listen, last year against Denver, go back and watch it. He would not pass the ball to Rudy Gobert. There were times I would be sitting on my couch and going, Ant, he's unguarded. Throw him the bleeping ball. And you know what? Rudy had to earn some of that, but he gets it. I thought it was telling at a key point when the one player who brought everybody together, and there was no BS show about it, and who was Anthony Edwards calling over? Mike Conley. He's saying, Mike Conley, get over here because I got some things to say, but you're right. He was better. Now, Towns. I want to talk Towns because we said it last week. I think too many people were lowering the bar for Towns off games one and two, you know. He was very good in game three. He just couldn't stay on the floor, right? He just couldn't stay on the floor. Last night, before the scoring started for Ant, he was great. And, man, people have to stop saying, he's got to post up. Yes, he's going to post up. I'm not in any way saying never post the guy up. But you talk about making people better. He's so by far their best outside shooter.
Yeah.
When he just, instead of fighting a guy for position for 11 seconds, either just spins and tries to post up on it quickly or steps off for the shot and spreads the floor out and creates lanes for Ant and Nas. It's just he's a different guy. And we've already played the audio once, but with Ant just calling out Cat on just mother bleeper, stay out of foul trouble.
I mean,
it was just fantastic. Yeah. It's so accurate.
Yeah, and no, he's clearly, his strength is as an outside shooter and being able to space the floor and you know, do those things. But it still looks a little clunky when he's in there, but he's a lot better than he used to. Decision-making, passing, we've seen a few years ago where it didn't look, you know, fluid at all. So I still think you're right.
Doses.
Go in there occasionally. When you get the matchups and you feel like, you know, you can take advantage of. And I thought that game pivoted, really, when third quarter, when they started, which third quarters they just dominated, but they really flexed their size on him.
Yes,
and
they did.
Both him and Gobert, they had no answer for that size. And so, you know, and that's the thing. I mean, we've seen people talk about this as a wing and guard league, but when you have size and you know how to deploy it, you can beat up a team. And that's what they did, both offensively and clearly defensively. But, yeah, and with Cat, Chad, to think he was going to come back the first game after missing that much time and just everything click. I mean, it was going to take him some time to find his rhythm. And so you would like to think that he's just going to continually be more consistent and kind of get more and more and more comfortable and back, you know, into his flow.
Well, and get ready for it because they're not going to change.
No.
I'll be stunned if Denver doesn't win tonight. So next Saturday, when the opening tap happens, it is going to be Karl Towns on Joker. and then Rudy is the roamer. And
yeah.
the more Carl can stay on the floor and that's not it, get it. In foul trouble and let Rudy be the roamer. And by the way, you know, your sixth man of the year who earned it, he was kind of a no-show in this series, right? If they're going to beat the Denver Nuggets.
Except for game one. Game one, he was fine.
Yeah, but he was fine. That, yeah. But outside yeah. of that, he really was not a factor. And it just shows their depth that Nas, who's been really essential, was like a C-minus in this series, and they still won it. But they are going to need that size next series against that monster. Because even when they lost to L.A., do you see that tap pass he made?
Yeah.
I didn't watch a ton of it, but I watched that, and I'm like.
I know, yeah.
I mean, he might be the 13th or 14th best player in the history of the game already. That's how highly I think of Joker. But, oh, by the way, I think the Wolves can win this series.
Well, they match up. They're the best matchup for him because of their size, for sure, and their depth. And you know, Mike Anori talked about last night at halftime during his interview, and we saw it. He's like, they have to be able to play defense the way they play without fouling.
Yes.
And
yes.
at times in the series, they had a lot of fouls, and that's where their depth showed up because they can just bring another guy off the bench.
Who's not in the first half last night. It was awful.
But they have to do that, and it's, you know, but I think they match up well with Denver. I think it's just going to be a phenomenal series.
Yeah. And by the way, if you just would rank the teams remaining in the playoffs, that's the top, they're at minimum, that's top four. Right? I mean, even though Boston lost to Miami, I got to put them in there. Obviously, Denver and, you know, maybe Oak City. But, I can't wait. I'm ready to go. We just don't have time for the Vikings. We will. They obviously made the news. And, I mean, the Twins got a pet sausage now. So, I mean, you know, they're petting the sausage.
I'm going to leave that one to you and Harrigan to talk
yes,
about.
Yes, exactly. Thank you.
All right, brother. See you.
Chip Scoggins. He's great. Simple as that. Jerry Seinfeld is 70 today. Where does Jerry Seinfeld rank on the all-time greatest comedians ever? Where does the Seinfeld show rank on the greatest comedies ever? And has Jerry ever said to Larry David, you know, we did Seinfeld together, but I got to admit, your show was better. Does Jerry ever honest to Larry and say, you know what, I thought our show was really, really good. Your show's better. Because it is. Let's talk a little Seinfeld when we come back here on CCO.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor.
Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.
All right, Larry King. I would say Larry King was properly rated, underrated, and overrated. Okay, every one of them.
When he was a three-tool broadcast.
He was a three-tool. Where he was underrated when he was on the radio. That's when I first heard him. And that's when he had an edge to him. You know, it's Dave in Brooklyn, go ahead. You know, and he was kind of ticked off. There was some personality to him.
Chad, Minneapolis, you're on.
Yes, you know. And then when he became so big, by just Softball City. CNN, it was just, I'm going to go on my friend Larry. And his access was unbelievable. Mm-hmm. Larry King's biggest moment, is it still when Ross Perot says, you do so-and-so and so-and-so, I'm going to run. And then again, when he had Al Gore and Al Gore's best moment when he just undressed Ross Perot. But he had big names all the time. But his prep was so overrated. Larry King would brag, would openly brag. I don't read the book. I really don't read about it. I want to have this clear mind.
Yes.
Gotta be. And by the way, Larry King had amazing success. Amazing success. Has to be one of the dumbest approaches ever. I'm doing no prep. You know? I'm not going to read anything about the person. Study anything.
Got the title of the book right normally.
Yeah.
Some prep. That's
and
full
he
of prep.
Sometimes do what he saw. And by the way, he was a legend. I mean, if we're comparing the totality of success, Larry King to me, she's done like the first seconds of the debate.
How much did the suspenders take into account? That's 90% of the legend comes from the suspenders, right?
It's a lot. But here's an example. If you haven't heard it before, it's phenomenal. But even if you heard it again, it's so good. This is Larry King, no prep, Jerry Seinfeld. When Seinfeld's done and he's got the B movie. You must have watched the B movie with the girls, right?
Not seen B movie.
I like it. I like it. And we'll see about the Pop-Tarts one. But this is when you do no prep and unbelievably embarrass yourself. Go ahead.
9 years, 180 episodes.
You gave it up, right?
I did. So.
They didn't cancel you. You canceled.
Let's talk about Seinfeld here.
You're not aware of this?
No, I'm asking you.
You think I got canceled? Are you under the impression that I got canceled?
Have I hurt you, Jerry?
I thought that was pretty well documented.
Is this still CNN? Don't most shows go down a little?
Most people do also. I went off the air as the number one show on television, Larry.
Do you know who I am?
75 million viewers last episode.
Boy, you don't take it so bad.
Well, that's a big difference between being canceled and being number one.
Okay, I'm sorry. We'll be right back.
Jeez.
Is there a resume? I mean, Larry King, who had the dot, dot, dots and was paying attention. How could he not know that Seinfeld was just a monster at the end when it left air?
Just not a fan of sitcoms.
Jeez. Does he tell Larry David? Larry, I got a bet. We had an amazing run. By the way, we're making way more money in Seinfeld than you're making on Curb. But your next show's better. Because Curb is better than Seinfeld. And I love Seinfeld.
I'd like to see what each show would have been. Curb on broadcast TV, Seinfeld on HBO.
Fair.
Because there's a lot more you can do. I mean, can you have half the characters you do on Curb if that show's on NBC in the 90s? I mean, what's Susie going to say?
All good. The Funk Man. Yes. How about Leon?
Yes.
Yeah, it's very, very fair. Very fair. One doesn't happen without the other, right? I mean, it's still amazing. Like, and it's been told so many times, and we're talking about this because Seinfeld's 70 today. It looks phenomenal.
Yes.
For 70, right?
I was shocked when you said 70. I was thinking
phenomenal.
I knew he was in his 60s.
One of the best concerts I ever saw. Gamage, ASU, Bill Maher, Dennis Miller, Jerry Seinfeld.
Wow.
It's a pretty good trio, right?
That's not bad.
It's pretty good. One, by the way, who always was left, now more center left. One who used to be left, now right. Where is Dennis Miller's vanished. And then Seinfeld normally doesn't talk politics, but he's talking a lot more last year or two about wokeness and ruining comedy.
I saw Dennis at the state fair about 10 years ago.
Yeah, but like,
he came with Dana Carvey and Kevin Nealon.
But he was on Fox a lot, and he still was him. He just had changed politically. Who cares? I thought he still was funny. It just seems like he's nowhere now. But Seinfeld was nothing the first episodes. Not only was it about nothing, I mean, it was like last in the ratings.
Mm-hmm.
They don't keep shows on like that anymore.
No, it would have been a half a season and, all right, red X, you're gone.
It normally would be even the four seasons say, you're done, but you had enough top brain wizards who said, this is really good. And it was. It was spectacular. So your one comedian is who?
Well, I mean, of all time, it's how do you make a choice?
Yeah, I don't know. Mean,
right now, it's probably Chappelle, if we're talking about somebody active right now, and that's a bold take to say Dave Chappelle's really, really good. But, man, I mean,
Dave Chappelle, when Dave Chappelle is at his best, he's unbelievable. Chris Rock, when he's at his best, is unbelievable. We were talking about Louis C.K.
Yeah.
When Adam was here. Louis C.K., and God knows he's had his issues. Okay. But when he's at his best, phenomenal.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Seinfeld, his stand-up is still great.
Yes.
right?
You know, I love Norm. Stand-up, not as great, but still I enjoy it. Jim Gaffigan, I've seen him a couple times. He's tremendous.
How about Mitch Hedberg?
I love Mitch Hedberg.
Yeah.
And it still makes me so sad that he left us so early, because I would have loved, I mean, if he was still active today, to see what the things he was saying today, you know, just coming up with one-liner after one-liner. And
you know, the number Seinfeld was getting, even as peak, forget the finale and the 70-some million, that'll never happen again. Because we have so many options.
Yeah. Well, no chance. I mean, it was Seinfeld, then it was Friends, and
yeah,
that's it.
I mean, do we have one show on network TV right now, like one, where there's just massive buzz about it and people are talking about it?
NFL football.
Yeah.
That's it.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Why do people watch live TV? It's sports and news, and we're done.
And a Billy Joel concert until they cut it off at the end.
Yes. I had a conversation with somebody the other day about that. She was all upset about it. I go, have you heard of YouTube? YouTube? There's about 8 million Billy Joel concerts.
But not this one. You know?
And guess what? No commercials either. No commercials when you watch Billy Joel.
Sometimes you need a smoke break.
Bill Burr. Very funny.
Yes, he is. I think he's almost a better, like, talk show guest. I've watched his stand-up.
Yeah.
And it's good, but you get him in a 5 to 10 minute dose when he's just, you know, on and then you know, nonstop, go laying into people.
People are talking about people in the past, Lee Ronnie. Yeah, Bill Burr, I once fell for it. We had Bill Burr on. It was like a 15-minute thing. It was a lot of sports. Finished, he goes, that was great. I really enjoyed this. I will absolutely do your show again. We reached out the next 3-4 times. Click, click, click. It was similar to those, you're the best part of the day. He didn't mean a single word of it, but I still think he's hysterical. 50 past 2 on CC. You want to explain who this is?
Your team, Rory.
Yeah,
I am. Your guy singing your song.
I am team Rory. This is my only exception to hating this song. It was fun. Rory and Lowry win, and then the one guy goes, Rory, you like a lot of 80s songs? He goes, well, I was born in 1989.
I hate him.
And then they had it right there in front of him. So they were singing that. Look who's here.
Hello.
Television star Jason DeRush is here.
Former.
Percentage of people who see you now and think you're on TV versus know you're here.
Somebody did say to me over the weekend that they see me on TV all the time, which is true.
Yeah.
I mean, it could be the Livia commercial.
I don't know if it's all the time.
No.
Yeah.
People were telling me they love me on Good Question for a good 10 years after I was doing that segment.
Yeah.
So it's a slow transition, but I get more comments about the radio show than anything else.
Good.
So that's good.
I think we're thinking along the same lines, because I see you early party, parenthetically, policy before decency. Whereas my tweet said at 1:35, decency over policy, ?
Which side did you come down on?
You need to listen to the podcast.
I'll have to find the podcast.
Chad Hartman show.
I think that you were taking a national look.
Yes.
We're going to talk about the state senator.
Yep.
Which has been a real circus today, frankly, of like so much preening, so much nonsense by everybody in this story. It's like it is their time to shine. You are a partisan hack, enjoy.
We did talk about that with Dumber Than We Thought. You could also do
that
because
that's good.
They all just would switch their positions.
Of course,
they
as they should. I'm going to defend them for being hacks. Yeah,
from a hack. Defending
who
other
knows
hacks.
More?
Who knows about changing their positions
right.
to suit themselves to this guy?
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor.
Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.